Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our God and Father, we have assembled ourselves together round about thy word in this evening to read and to allow our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, our souls, all our being, to receive the training that comes in meditating upon thy word. We thank thee for this blessing to gather together. We ask thy blessing upon thy word and upon our hearts that we might be able to receive this truth that is able to save our souls. This truth that gives us hope for life eternal, and that we would come together with the intention to approach thy throne and worship thee, to adore thee for thy truth and thy holiness, to thank thee for thy mercy and thy forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Truly, Lord, thou art worthy of all praise and glory. And we pray that the words that we would speak, the thoughts that we would think, and the fruits and the actions that would come as a result of being here together would reverberate unto thy honor and thy glory for the furtherance of thy kingdom, and that thou would find willing servants who allow thee to work in each of our lives to be that salt and light that we've been called to be, to share thy love, to share thy gospel, and to bring thy hope into this sin-darkened world. We give thee thanks for everything. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, let's turn together to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, for our reading this evening. 1 Peter, chapter 1.
Nađemo prva poslanica Petrova, prva glava.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which now are reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And Lord. Apostle Peter, writing to strangers scattered throughout these regions of Asia Minor, strangers, pilgrims, those who haven't found their final resting place. He knows his audience very well. He knows that they do not feel at home in this world. He knows that they are looking forward to a better country. And he writes to them to encourage them in their faith, to give them a reminder of the hope that they have, to exhort them As we've even prayed, towards the end of this chapter, the last half, he exhorts them to gird up the loins of their mind, to prepare their mind for the work and the application of God's word, to holiness, to the fear of God, and to an unfeigned love of the brethren. These beautiful fruits of the Spirit of God. And as always is in the scripture, we see this pattern of an apostle bringing out some spiritual truths and then application. And that's what we see here in this first chapter of Peter as well. Before we get into the thoughts that Apostle Peter is writing to them about holiness and fear and love, Peter spends many verses bringing the reader, bringing us into focus on all the good that God has done and has in store for his children. And he praises God for it. We, as we gather together, we come to the Word to seek guidance for how to handle the situations that come up in our lives. How to walk circumspectly. How to respond when things go well and when things go poorly. But when we come together, we don't only consider the things of this world and this life, but we want to think about heaven. We want to allow our minds to and our hearts and all of our being, really, to let those earthly concerns and cares go and get a glimpse of God, his greatness, and his goodness. Upon fixing our eyes upon those truths and the beauty, those things that are true and honest and of good report that are found in our Lord, the holiness and the fear and the love will fall into place. When we know God and we know that he is holy, when we know God and experience his forgiveness and know that it was not of our own, we will fear and we will love. If we know God and if we pursue him and his kingdom and his righteousness, all other things, Jesus says, will be added unto us. So Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Bless his name. Let all that is within me bless his name. Because of his abundant mercy, he adopted us into his family. He's given us new life and given us and brought to us a living hope. A living hope, one that is lively and active and influencing the way that we think and the way that we live. And this came to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the reality that Jesus did not remain in the tomb, but was raised from the dead as the first fruits of the resurrection. And now he is accepted and seated at the right hand. He is enthroned in glory and honor, and he is preparing a place for all those that love him. There is a glory and an honor that's available in the world, and it's given by the praise of men and the things that men value. Like a big pile of money. That's glory and honor in this world. The next time the stock market crashes, or once it's all spent, it fades away. The glory of Jesus Christ and the place that he is preparing for them that love him is an inheritance. It's something that the Lord passes down to his children, and it is incorruptible. Our minds can barely fathom what it means that the joy, the love, and the pleasure in God's presence that we will enjoy will not be tarnished. It is undefiled and fades not away. The joy of things that we experience here below can fade away. You could get some new device that you enjoy. You could get some modification for a car that's really cool for a time. But after a while, that gets a little boring. And even the things that seem so exciting at first, that joy fades away. But that's not how heaven will be. It's totally unlike the things that we experience here below. Reserved in heaven for you, this inheritance. For those who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation. God's power at work in willing vessels, willing hearts that yield to the Lord and allow him to give us the strength to do the things that are right, to live according to God's commands. And through faith, God upholds those souls unto a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. It's a salvation that we are looking forward to. In the ultimate sense, when this world will be a thing of the past, it will fade away. That salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. And we look forward to it. We hasten unto that day. We long for that precious time when temptation and sin will be no more. And as our hope rests in the promises of God that those things are true that he has promised, we greatly rejoice. Though now for a season. Our minds are looking, as we have been instructed in the scripture. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, in Colossians chapter 3. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Our affections are set on things above, yet, for a season, it's necessary that we endure heaviness through many trials, various types of difficulties, various types of tests, And God, all the while, keeps us by his power through faith. When we abide in faith towards God, believing and trusting and depending upon him, he gives us all that we need to endure. When the heat of the flames of the fire of temptation and trial come upon us, he's that water that cools our thirst, that helps us. He is our everything. Oh, how we know when we are facing a trial, how much more we pray, how much more it seems like we depend upon God. It's true. And God at times finds that necessary, as it says here, if need be. We know that there are temptations and trials and things that we need to learn, areas where we need to grow. It would be better if we would listen to the word and obey first. And that is God's primary means of teaching. He teaches us the word. He instructs us through his commands. If we have a willing heart and we listen, we obey, we find God's blessing and in the fulfillment of how God has created us to occupy our time here below. But not one of us is unfamiliar with trials and how strong they can be in teaching us powerful lessons, sometimes much more than what we receive as we read. But it works with the things that we read, because when we take the things that we read from the Word and apply them to the situation that we may find ourselves in, we find that God's guidance is a light for our path. And that light shines eternally. There's a light that shines and guides us towards this eternal home in the Word. He says later on, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. This idea of girding up the loins is a preparation for work. You know, they might have tucked their robes into their belt, prepare for work, tighten their belt. We might say, roll up the sleeves of your mind in today's language, because there's a work to be done. There's a preparation. Being sober and hoping to the end and enduring is not a casual endeavor. But God being with us and God giving us the hope of his promises, by God's grace, we will. By God's grace, we trust that he will keep us and that he will guide us unto that eternal home with him forever. If we did not believe that, we would be without hope and most miserable, the Bible tells us. But we do have that hope. And so in the midst of trials, in the midst of grief that we face, we look to the salvation that we are experiencing and the fulfillment of those promises that we are anticipating. And though we have not seen the Lord in the flesh with these physical eyes, yet we love him. We love Jesus Christ. Though we see him not, yet believing in faith and in love in Jesus Christ, he gives us reason to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is faith and salvation that we experience day by day, part of our life. And there was a salvation that's referred to from the past, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. They longed to know how God was going to work in this world, how he would bring about the fulfillment of his promises. And there was a Spirit of Christ that gave them utterance, that gave them wisdom, that they would pen down words that would speak of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And all of those things were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, his ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection and ascension. Everything that they were looking into is found in Jesus. All of those godly men that were striving and looking found the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The strivings and searchings that take place today, they will go unanswered unless they are searching for Jesus Christ. We search for him with all of our heart and look to him with an honest and good heart, receive his word, he will bring fruit to his honor and glory. And so this word, which was preached unto them by the gospel, with the Holy Ghost that was sent down from heaven, the believers at this time and us were the ones that the prophets were talking to. They were explaining the things that we receive as truth through the gospel. And the angels desire to look into this as well. They are observing how God is working in our lives. We read last week from the book of Job, where spiritual beings were observing mankind. What will we teach the angels of the power of God able to work in a willing heart? They marvel at God's goodness, his glory, and what he has provided for us. It is not for them. They desire to look into it, but that inheritance is for us. So, seeing the beauty of eternity that awaits, seeing the blessing of the salvation that has been offered, Peter exhorts the believers, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Endure to the end. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Our habits and routine of daily life, aren't they like a craftsman that's fashioning something, carving something out of wood? As we do things over and over again, it leaves its imprint on our life. What Peter is saying is, don't be practicing the things that you were accustomed to before your conversion, before you became a believer. Former lusts that you followed in ignorance. Now you know the sweetness of God's forgiveness. You know the peace that comes with leaving those things behind. Now you know. Now make the practices, make the fashioning, make the habits and the routines of your life that mold and shape you. Bring that under Christ. He fashions us by and cleans us through the Word. Our time in the Word fashions us. Our time in worship to God fashions us and gives our thoughts and our patterns a particular trajectory, doesn't it? We will tend to be thankful when we practice it. We will tend to be cynical if we practice that. And those are sometimes very difficult snares when they are, according to the former lusts, to escape from. The Lord has called us unto a holy life, a life that is separated unto Him. One that would fashion ourselves in a way that's pleasing unto God. Making those habits, sometimes the Word makes us think. Sometimes somebody explains the Word in a way that, oh, that was thought-provoking. And that's good. That's one level of engagement with the Word. Sometimes somebody explains the Word and it convicts us. And that's another engagement with the Word. Sometimes somebody explains the Word and it causes us to change. And sometimes the Word teaches us in such a way that we give thought, prayer, and dedication to allow the Lord to fashion us according to His will. Sometimes the things that we learn just touch our thoughts. Sometimes it touches us for a day and we touch our action. But God helping us, when we gird up the loins of our minds, if we would roll up our sleeves of our thoughts and our being, to be, as it were, intentionally pursuing these things, God helping us, we'll find victory. We'll find the strength that we need. So much could be said about the preciousness of the blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, without spot, who was verily foredained before the foundation of the world, is manifest in these last times for you. These things were done that your faith and hope might be in God, as we learn about the salvation of the Lord. As we think about what God has done for us, that we might be able to inherit that eternal life, isn't it a precious thought? Doesn't it stir within our hearts a love and a sacredness of that sacrifice? And doesn't it remind us there could be no greater gift that was given for the forgiveness of our sins? For Christ to die in our stead, we could not do that on our own. He is the one that receives the credit, the all that is due for our salvation. Our faith and hope do not rest in ourselves, but they rest in God. He's given us the reason to place our faith and hope firmly upon Him. And finally, in these last few verses, we see a beautiful fruit of the Spirit that Peter is wanting to amplify, wanting to bring attention to. He knows that they love one another. He knows that they love the Word and that He has fellowship with them in that. Yet He reminds them, because it is so important, to see that we love one another with a pure heart fervently. And I suppose that that word has particular meaning for us, because we know the truth and the importance of love. But this says to do it with a fervent heart. To make an effort, to put ourselves in a place where we can be of service. And the Lord will do His work when we willingly submit to that. These are the words of God. This is the word that has been preserved for us. And it was penned many, many years ago. And it has endured persecution. Its followers have endured trials. The word has at times been neglected in this world, but it endures. When we stick close with the Word, that becomes our life and it becomes our eternity. May God give us the grace that we stick with the Word, that we hold to its teachings, that we value the eternity that awaits us in Jesus Christ. And we always give Him the praise, the thanks for all these things. Amen.
Of God is the only rule that we have that demands and shows us a way of holiness. And it is this eternal word is that endures forever, that must be the treasure of our heart. It is the only way through which we can find holiness, holy living, and being brought into life that is God-pleasing, a life of victory that God gives each one of us who treasure this word that endures forever. May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.